In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. Merry Christmas. So one day, two Episcopal priests were standing on the side of the road right outside of their church, and they were holding up these two signs that read, "Turn around, the end is near." And as the first car drove by, the driver rolled down his window and yelled, "Take a hike, you religious nuts, and leave us alone." And a few moments later, from a distance, the clergy heard some screeching tires and a big crash. And the priest exchanged looks with each other, and one of the priests, after a moment of silence, turned to the other and said, "You know, maybe we should change our sign to read, 'The bridge is out.'" Sometimes things don't turn out like we expect, do they? And after hearing today's lessons, some of us might be thinking to ourselves, "Hold on, did we miss something? Where's the Christmas story? Where are the angels and the wise men and the shepherds? Where's Mary and Joseph? Where's the baby Jesus?" I mean, that's the story we expect to hear on Christmas, isn't it? Well, interestingly enough, out of all the Gospels, only Luke mentions the angels and the shepherds. And Matthew is the only Gospel that includes a visit from the wise men, from the Magi. Meanwhile, Mark seems to skip over the whole thing altogether. And in today's Gospel from John, we get an entirely different kind of Christmas story. One that might seem a little dull and boring, especially compared to an exciting cast of shepherds and angels and wise men. But what John records in today's gospel may be the most significant part of the Christmas story. This is how John's story begins. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now, I think it's important for us to remember that John was writing to Greeks. Greeks were John's primary audience. And the Greek for word, which is used over and over again, is logos. And logos is where we get the term logic. In fact, the Greeks would have automatically recognized the word or the logos as the wisdom or the logic that created all there was and all there is in our universe. So at first, the Greeks probably thought John was beginning his Christmas story by presenting another concept or another argument or another explanation about the word, about the logos. But as we know, John wasn't talking about an idea to be discussed and debated. That's why John goes on to write this, "And the Word became flesh and lived among us." In other words, John was describing something that would change our world forever. John tells us that the power of God doesn't lie in an idea or in an intellectual argument, but in a person, the Word that became flesh and lived among us. Unfortunately, I think a lot of Christianity these days gets reduced to the discussion of an idea or a set of beliefs. Now, of course, our beliefs and our doctrine matter. They're very important. But Christianity is not simply about following the rules and believing in a correct set of beliefs. After all, the Bible tells us that even the devil himself believes in God. And as we know, it's possible to believe all the right things and remain completely unaffected and unchanged. It's possible to believe all the right things and still be miserable people. If we're hurting, if we're feeling empty, if we're afraid, if we're in trouble, an abstract idea is usually not going to help us much. What we need to be saved is the Word that became flesh and lived among us. A few years ago, there was a story on the news about this 4-year-old boy who accidentally fell into a septic tank. And the young mother, when she saw her boy there, she ran to his rescue, and she reached down and she tried to pull him out. But no matter how hard she tried, she just couldn't seem to get him out of that foul-smelling sewage. So eventually, she jumped down into that septic tank, and she lifted him up, she wrapped her arms around him, and she just held on to him tightly. And eventually, they were both rescued and pulled out of the septic tank. Later, the boy's father said that even though his son had several baths since the accident, he still had a certain odor about him. But the father wisely said nothing about the way his wife smelled. The point is, the mother loved her son so much that she willingly went where she had to go, even entering into a foul-smelling septic tank in order to save her helpless son. 2,000 years ago, on that first Christmas, when the Word became flesh and lived among us, God willingly entered into the muck and the mire of our world to be with you and to be with me. Now he wasn't just standing at a safe distance trying to pull us out. Now he was right there with us. Now we were in this thing together. This is the gospel. This is the good news of the Christmas story, that the Creator of everything, of the galaxies, of the planets, of the heavens and the earth, the Logos, loves us so much that he comes to rescue us no matter where we are. And when he finds us, he lifts us up, he wraps his arms around us, and he holds on to us tightly. So on this Christmas day, may we rejoice and celebrate that the Logos has come to us. Today, God is Emmanuel, God with us. Today, God has come among us, not as an idea or as a set of beliefs, but as a person, as a child, as a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Amen.